everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Along with Bob Dio, our producer and engineer of the Buckmaster Show, together we welcome you to the program. It is November the 28th, 2018. Hope the week is off to a good start for you. You're listening to AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk, with our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Of course, all of our podcasts. We have the complete show archive going back almost 8 years of programs available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number for you to join in the conversation is 790-2040. Well, President Trump was elected on a platform of distrusting government. What are the long-term dangers of losing faith in our governmental institutions? Let's put that question now to Dr. Brent Millward, who is the director of the School of Government and Public Policy at the University of Arizona. Professor Millward holds the Melody S. Robidoux Foundation Fund Chair in Collaborative Governance. He was the director of the Tucson-based National Institute for Civil Discourse, which is co-chaired by President George Herbert Walker Bush and President Bill Clinton. Professor Millward on our live line now. How are you, sir?
Just fine, Bill. How you doing?
Doing very well. How about my opening question? How would you address that, and how do you address it?
Well, skepticism of government is as old as the government of the United States, so that's nothing new. We've always had this. There's always been a feeling out in the country that Washington, D.C. doesn't understand Topeka, Kansas, or Tucson, Arizona, and there's truth in that. I think what we're seeing now is something. It's almost like a war against government. And one of the things that I would really like to get people to think about is all the things that government does. No matter what you think about certain programs that you may hate or certain programs that you may love, think about things like nuclear weapons, which the military doesn't control, but is controlled through the Department of Energy, headed by Rick Perry, he's the cabinet secretary, and when he ran for president, one of the things he wanted to do was to do away with it. And so they have the task of maintaining our nuclear weapons, of decommissioning them, of cleaning up nuclear production sites, which is a very, very tricky thing to do. These are skills that have taken generations to acquire. And if you're not careful of managing these kinds of risks, all kinds of very bad things can happen. Same thing's true with the census. Same thing's true with the Department of Agriculture and many of the programs that they administer. This administration has not appointed many people in certain key areas, and wonderful new book, Michael Lewis's The Fifth Risk, who did Moneyball and The Big Short, he talks about what's happening at certain cabinet-level departments when you have people who are either not in favor of that department and don't care about it, or, frankly, or don't have the ability to or the expertise to manage it well. So that's what his book, The Fifth Risk, is about.
We have always had partisanship, certainly, in our government and Congress, but this is hyper-partisanship, and I'm wondering, how does that affect the ability for the government to even function?
Well, we're finding out. If you think about democratic government, we haven't had it that long in the world. And so we're talking about something that has a history, you know, outside of places, for very specific places, Greece and Rome. All of a sudden, you're basically assuming that everyone is willing to abide by sort of certain basic rules. If they aren't, then you're back to Game of Thrones, you're back to dictators, you're back to autocrats, or you're back to war. And so the opposition, when you lose, one of the things you have to do in democratic government is you basically have to say, we're the loyal opposition. We oppose the party that won, but we're loyal to the institutions of government. And vice versa. And I think that's what's under siege right now. And I think there are people both on the left and the right who don't have that basic commitment, and that's a real problem going forward. Civility is just a marker. I mean, it's something that's nice, and government works a lot better when people play by the rules, but I think this is a very big problem.
Let's go to our live line. We have one of our callers, longtime friend of our program, Jim Kelly, has a question for Professor Millward. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, thank you. Dr. Millward,
yes.
You know, the two big lies are the check is in the mail and I'm from the government and here to help you.
Right.
And my point is maybe people are in flux and nervous because of that flux, but isn't it what the American people wanted when they said it's not so much the department but the processes and the sort of lawmaking ability that, you know, appointees are making rules and regulations instead of Congress? Isn't that really kind of where the fight is?
That's a good point, but I think that it's not the only point. The laws that we're talking about governing the disposal, the cleanup of nuclear waste, those are U.S. laws. There are regulations there as well. That was passed by Congresses many, many years ago. And so an administration doesn't, on just a whim, decide what laws they want to enforce and what laws they don't. And so, you know, you can say the check is in the mail and I'm here from the government to help you, but frankly, take a look at what happens when the government doesn't help you. Michael Brown was head of FEMA at Katrina, and that was a disaster. After that, one of the first things the Obama administration did was appoint a really strong director of FEMA and took it seriously, because when something like FEMA doesn't operate in a disaster, whether it's a hurricane or whether it's a huge flood like Katrina on the back of a hurricane, that's the kind of thing that really destroys trust in government. So one of the things I'd like you to do is to read Michael Lewis's book. You don't have to believe everything in there, but the fifth risk is what happens when people take over governments or government agencies that they don't believe in or don't have the skills to do it correctly. We have a huge government. We have millions of employees. We spend billions and billions of dollars on all kinds of things. And so take a look, open up the hood, look inside, see what's happening at a fairly granular level in some of the agencies that Michael Lewis talks about, like agriculture, like energy, and others. And you find that many things work very well. There are always problems. And the other thing you need to think about is that very often government can do things very well that many people in the country don't want it to be doing. But that's the law, and the way to deal with it is to change the law.
Quick update on the National Institute for Civil Discourse. This was you were instrumental in that creation after the assassination attempt on Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. How is that organization doing?
It's doing quite well. Most of the work has been moved to Washington. It's still a major part of the University of Arizona, and frankly, in the new strategic plan that President Robbins just released, it will be an integral part of what's called the Washington Center for the University of Arizona. Carolyn Lukensmeyer is the director. She's done a phenomenal job. They have programs like Next Generation, where they're in about, I think right now, 17 states, training legislators on both sides of the aisle to cooperate on the kinds of things that literally have to be done, regardless of your political predilections. So things like passing a budget. And how do you work to eliminate risks like forest fires and things like that? And so that is going along very well, and I think it's going to be a major part of what the University of Arizona does going on into the future.
We've only got about a minute left.
Sure.
At the beginning of our conversation, we talked about historically there's always been kind of a distrust of government, but do you see any kind of precedent for this, again, hyper-distrust of government that we are witnessing?
Well, most people would say look at the decade before the Civil War, and mm-hmm. I think that is something that should give us pause. That's when incivility, and that's when just an absolute inability to compromise, you know, played havoc with the U.S. government. It was settled by war, which is, I think, makes my point, and it's the last point I'll make, which is the alternative to effective democratic government is war.
And the book you have mentioned, the author again is Michael Lewis, and the name of the book is The Fifth Risk. Mr. Lewis is the author of two very, very popular books, and I think both of those were made into movies. Moneyball and The Big Short. I liked both of those movies. Dr. Millward, always a pleasure. We thank you very much for being on the program, and we'll check in with you again, hopefully, in the near future. Thank you, sir.
Great to talk to you, Bill. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Brent Millward is the director of the School of Government and Public Policy at the University of Arizona. All right, it's time to start thinking about Christmas and a Danish kringle. Instead of cookies this Christmas, you can make Santa tingle. Leave him a treat from Mona's, the home of the Danish kringle. How's that for a jingle? Steve and the team up at Mona's came up with that, and I think, well, I like it. We'll be hearing a lot more of it. Mona is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They can take care of all of your Christmas needs. My goodness, they've already got those boxes of Christmas cookies out and ready. So there's a lot going on at Mona's. They had a very successful Thanksgiving, and they would love for you to stop by northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. There's a link at buckmastershow.com. That's my website. Or you can go directly to their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Shelley Fishman is with me in studio and giving me a thumb that is kind of, well, not up, not down. So that means a little bit of flat at the moment. We'll find out. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And what do you say we consult right now with our financial guru? Well, I won't call him a guru, but...
You can call me a guru.
I'll call him a guru. Certified financial planner. I can certainly call him that, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you?
I'm miserable today. Thank you, Bill. I have a cold, and if I make it through this interview without coughing, that'll be great.
Well, you're doing pretty well so far. I haven't heard many coughs, and you were here in the first segment. We got through it without...
He's smart.
Oh, man, he is great. What say we bring him in for a full hour sometime?
I would love to host that show.
Well, maybe we can do that one of my upcoming vacations as we start to think about 2019. Okay, Shelley, what is considered – certainly we're in a correction. I think everybody agrees on
that,
right?
We've had now three corrections this year.
Three.
We're in one right now, and this one is apparently the longest-lived of the three.
Mm-hmm. And what would consider then what would be going from a correction into a bull market?
Okay, so we don't use the B word.
Okay.
No, we do. Okay. So a correction is well defined. It is well understood by most financial people as being a drop of 10% or more in the indexes that you're following over a short period of time. So that would be a correction if it's 10%. Then you've had a correction, and as long as you remain within that 10% or less territory, you're in the correction. Now, if that persists for a long period of time and continues to fall, then people start talking about it being a bear market. Now, I have been trying to find the absolute definitive definition of a bear market all week long, and I must tell you I have come up short. I cannot find a consensus as to what a bear market really is. Now, keep in mind that markets are many things. Some are stock markets. Some can be commodity markets. Some can be a market for a product like a car or cornflakes, for that matter.
But we're looking, I think, when we want a definition of percentage-wise, because you said 10% for the correction. In your research, looking for that definition, what was the range of percent that
The range can be anything from 10 to 40.
10 to 40%?
Over a period of time. So the essential element in talking about a market, if you will, or talking about a bear market or a bull market, is the amount of time that the commodity or product that you're looking at, in this case stocks, has moved in that direction. And the number or percentage of the products within that product category that have moved. So one interesting definition that I found was that if 80% of the stocks or the components of the index that you're tracking are down 10% or more for a period of 3 months, then you can begin to think of that as a bear market in that index.
Well, if you go back then to, say, September 30th was when we started the market. It was not a very good October, to say the least.
It was a bad October.
November's not been great. So if you start to think about 3-month periods, we may be getting close to that.
Right. So the question is, on what day are you looking at the numbers? And what we've had in this particular market is a high volatility. So from day to day, I mean, you had yesterday when the market was up 300-something points. So if you complain in the morning that we're in a bear market and then the market shoots up 350 points, it's hard to really say that we're in a bear market, because what we don't have in a day, looking at any day or any week or even a month or two, is we don't have a reduction line. We don't have an average line that we can track that is clearly on a downward slope. And that's what you need to look at. So to be a little bit kind of a wiseacre about this, it's kind of like pornography. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure how to define it, but I know it when I see it.
Right.
And so in this particular situation, what we have is a market that was headed up for about 15 months after the election and then hit a wall in the end of January and started falling and then recovered. Recovered very, very nicely, almost to the peak. In fact, it might have exceeded the January peaks on an intraday basis, and then decided to change its mind again. So right now, we have no clear direction. But if I take a look at the slope from the end of January till now, which is, after all, 10 months, that slope is downward. And it's not moderately downward. It's from a high of almost 27,000 down to where we are today, about 3,000 points less. So that's about a 15% difference on average. And so that gives me an indication that if this persists for several more months, analysts in the press will begin to think of it as a bear market.
Here's a question for you, Shelley Fishman. Can we have a bear market but not be in recession?
Oh, absolutely. So the market is one thing, the economy is something else. When you use the term recession, we're talking about the performance of the economy. A recession is defined generally as 3 months of downward or negative GDP growth. Negative growth. I know that's an oxymoronic kind of statement, but if the GDP is decreasing for a period of 3 months, we say we are entering a recession. We don't have any indication at this point that that's happening. What we do have is a situation where the growth in the GDP is declining over the past couple of months. We expect it to decline even further in this current quarter. But it's still positive growth. Now, markets in general, stock markets, commodity markets, bond markets, tend to be leading indicators of where a market is going. So if we see a persistent weakness in these markets, then I think you'll see analysts begin to find ways of charting the inevitability of a pullback in the economy. And that, of course, if it begins to fall into that definition of 3 months of negative growth, would be called a recession.
So the last recession we were in was...
The last recession was in 2007-2008, where we began to see a real slowdown in the economy, and we had negative growth for several quarters.
I have another question. It was about yesterday. Here we had that terrible news that General Motors was laying off 15% of their workforce in the Middle West. There were some jobs lost, I know, up in Canada. GM is phasing out a couple of factories and product lines. The Impala is going to go away in 2020.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
a couple of other cars.
You know, they're doing what they need to do as a company to make financial sense of their operations.
And quick question, why would the market respond normally something like that? I would say normally, wouldn't you think the market would like go down on news like that?
No, absolutely not. The market took a look at that and said GM is doing what they need to do.
With cost cutting.
With cost cutting and with strategic realignment, such that you get the feeling as a watcher of that industry that they are doing what they need to do to manage their future, rather than just go quarter to quarter and report earnings or report sales revenues. Most market analysts who follow market segments or specific industries are looking for competence and confidence that the management of the companies that they are following appear to know what they're doing and appear to be
control,
doing it,
right?
Have things under control, okay. And are doing it with a certain elan, a forcefulness. Now, we're kind of laughing about this, but it's if you're one of the 15,000 people who are going to lose their jobs, or the towns where those factories are going to be shut forever, that's not a good thing. But if companies don't do those kinds of things and regularly realign themselves, then the longer-term outlook for that industry and those companies is even bleaker.
Yep.
So in good times, they expand. In bad times or in slow times, they cut back a little bit. That's what free market economies are supposed to do.
All right, Shelley Fishman, you got through it without a cough, which is certainly a pat on the back for you, my friend. Thank you very much. And we'll talk a little bit about climate change in that report. We didn't get a chance.
Oh, we need to talk about that.
I know, and the economic ramifications, but we can perhaps talk about that in the next session or so. Thanks, Shelley.
Have a great week.
Thank you.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday afternoon. Christmas is coming. The headquarters for poinsettias in town is Green Things. We love Green Things. Our favorite nursery in town, 3384 East River Road. Jan and Jack, the owners, have done just miracles on their 13 acres. They have greenhouse after greenhouse filled with poinsettias in every imaginable color. I understand they have 25,000 of them that they grew. Most of them are going to be gone, and because they go to all sorts of different organizations, making your home and mine look great. So check it out, 3384 East River Road. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. And when you're at Green Things, stop by their five shops that they now have at Zocalo Village. Zocalo has all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Let's welcome now Kristen Auerbach. Kristen joining us on the program. Kristen, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure. In your 18 months heading a Pima Animal Care Center, you have really made a difference in this community. You've been, you are the director of animal services and really manage the whole operation there at Pima Animal Care Center. And people are noticing, and it's really good. You won the award recently from Inside Tucson Business for executive level department leader of a large or nonprofit company at the Executive Excellent Awards on November 14th. That was a nice honor.
It was, and it was a total surprise, and I was kind. I was a little bit overwhelmed because those awards are really recognizing business leaders in the community, mm-hmm. and it was such an honor. And what I said when I was on stage is thank you from the 17,000 cats and dogs, because it's such an honor to be recognized in that environment, and it says a lot about how much Tucsonians and people in Pima County care about pets.
Then recently you had a talk at the Mel and Edith Zuckerman College of Public Health. I know you were a little nervous.
Yes, I was so nervous.
You know, speaking in front of these people about health care issues. And it really, folks don't understand, and I hope you enlightened them during your talk, that pets really do matter when we're talking about public health.
Yeah, so that talk was really about addressing, from a public health perspective, how we tackle issues around pet ownership, because we know, for instance, that people don't get hospitalization and medical care because they don't want to leave their pets for two or three nights and they don't have anyone to care for them. Well, that's a huge issue in our community, and it's one that we have to tackle from a public health perspective. So that was a chance to get to speak in front of the faculty and students of the college about how we can better integrate animal issues into other public health conversations.
And it's something, you know, you just don't think about, but if somebody has a health care issue, they live alone, they have dogs and cats at home, companion animals, what happens to the animals when that individual has to go to the doctor and perhaps is hospitalized? What's the backup system for that individual so the animals are taken care of?
Yeah, it's a really important question, because nationally, animal services agencies were built with no social safety nets for pets except for euthanasia or intake. Well, both of those are not the most humane solution in most cases, and they're not cost effective. It's expensive to bring animals into a shelter. And so we're approaching things a little bit differently to say, how can we tackle some of these issues and keep pets with their families, keep their, what we call them, interspecies families intact, which saves money and is more humane. And in the end, it keeps people with their pets.
When you reflect now back over the past year and a half, give me some of your feelings about when you first came to the facility, and now as we're looking at a brand new facility, which there'll be a chance this Sunday for folks to come out and take a look.
Well, I made the decision to come here because I knew that the county, the city, the partners, and the taxpayers all support PAC in a way that's really unusual, that for a municipal shelter to have so much support. You can go around Pima County and 9 out of 10 people are going to know what PAC means. That alone is kind of astonishing. And so that has been proven time and time again to be true. The leadership and the residents who live here, every time we ask for help, they're there to answer the call. Whether it's tomorrow we're going to take in 60 to maybe over 100 cats from one home, and we're going to be reaching out to the community for help. And just like every time, they will step up and answer the call. And it's been really remarkable to see. It takes a village is a phrase that gets thrown around a lot. But I think PAC really embodies what that means.
You know, and I follow you on Facebook, as do a lot of other folks, and you're very active on Facebook, which is really good because you're getting the word out about PAC. But you mentioned those cats, it seems like we're seeing a lot of, I guess you would call it animal hoarding. Is that still the term that's used or what?
Yeah, that term is really stigmatized. And okay. So we, especially with cats, we just call them cat houses. And they're places where people had two or three cats,
right.
And they started having babies.
And then they...
pretty soon they're 60 to 100.
Right.
And for a lot of people, they're really afraid to call us. Mm-hmm. They think that we're going to take their homes away. They think they're going to get citations and punishment. And we're really trying to spread the message that we're just there to help and to call us before it's 100 cats. Call us when it's 20. We can get them spayed or neutered. We can put them right back, and we can help you keep that number down to something manageable.
There was a sad case, and hopefully it's going to have a happy ending. There was a dog... was it a security business? There were a bunch of dogs that had been in cages all their lives. And then the business, I guess, went out of business. And you guys wound up with all the dogs and now trying to find them forever homes.
Yeah. So Mr. Williams is a longtime community member, and he's had a guard dog business. And mm-hmm. when he started his business, you have to remember that animals that came to the shelter at that time, it was a pound. They were going to be euthanized. And he really started out with an ethic of rescuing animals and giving them a job so they weren't euthanized. And so he sees himself as a rescuer in the community, and indeed has been. But he ended up with about 80 to 100 dogs with a sort of guard dog business that's not as busy as it used to be.
Right, and he
has failing health.
Okay.
And so he reached out and asked for our help. And so we're slowly taking dogs. He's rehoming some of them. But the population's gone from about 100, and we're down to about 25. So they're shepherdy mixed dogs. And people think guard dogs, they think vicious. These actually are just, they're pretty friendly dogs that have just been taught to bark at a fence.
Mm-hmm.
They're all friendly with people. And so we've been able to rehome all of the ones that we've gotten so far.
Good. Kristen Auerbach is the head of Pima Animal Care. She is our guest here on the Buckmaster Show. We mentioned the celebration that's coming up this weekend. It's Sunday, December the 2nd. Stop by from 11 a.m. and we'll be going on till 4, I believe, in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. What can people expect, Kristen?
We wanted this to be an event that was a little bit different, and so it's really geared around how families can volunteer together to help homeless pets. So it's totally appropriate for young children and families, and we have activities like icing of the bones, where we ice little dog bones with peanut butter and decorate them with dog treats, and then kids can go with their family around the shelter and give those to the dogs. We have face painting, some of your more traditional activities, food trucks, and it's really just a festival to celebrate where we've come. I am so honored to be here. I've been here 18 months, but the work that came before me was years and years of efforts on the part of so many hundreds and thousands of people, and this is our chance, our time to say thank you to the community for all they've done to make PAC what it is today.
We plan to be out there and say hello to our listeners, and hopefully we'll get a chance to tour the facility, because this is a new facility, and in 2014, Pima County voters did approve Proposition 415 to upgrade your facilities, and this was a huge game changer.
So when I got to PAC, we were still in an old facility, which had been built in the 1960s, and it was never built for life-saving. It was built as a dog pound, and so we had jerry-rigged just about everything to make it work, but it was a challenge to operate, and disease was rampant. It was impossible to contain sickness. And so the new building, moving into the new building, which we did over the period of about 6 months, we're fully moved in, and it's just a totally different experience. experience walking in. And I run into people every day who say, I'm too afraid to come to PAC. I'm going to cry. And what we tell them is, no, you're not. You're going to have a big smile on your face because you're going to know that every animal you see is going to make it out alive. And they're all being housed in really humane, excellent conditions.
What is the save rate right now?
We're going to end the year at about exactly 90%. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge accomplishment. In we see most of the animals that are still dying in the shelter are critically sick or injured, hit by car dogs, cats that have been on the streets for 10 years with no medical care. And those are really hard to save. The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the only reason we're able to save those more challenging animals, because our funding's really just get them spayed, neutered, right, vaccinated, get them out. And so we're kind of tackling that last group, but also turning an eye to the community. We have a lot more work as we move forward.
And you are mandated to take every animal. This is what's a little different with Pima Animal Care.
Yeah, so we're the open admission shelter, so any animal need is going to come through our doors. And we work closely with our rescue partners, the Humane Society and Hermitage, but we're really the shelter. We're the first place that sick, injured animals come, and 25% of our 17,000 animals are sick or injured when they come in and require treatment. So our vet team works 24/7 really to keep those animals healthy and get them out of the shelter alive.
You have a great head vet, Dr. Jen. She's
we
still
sure
with
do.
You, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
All right. Kristen Auerbach will stick around for a second segment. We've got a lot to talk about. Giving Tuesday, I want to talk about fostering, which has really been a game changer in Kristen's business. The Buckmaster Show, our favorite bakery in town, is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Perfect for the Christmas season, that Danish Kringle. Mona's Danish Bakery, Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise, open right now. If you're in that area, go by, have some lunch. Their breads are fantastic. The rolls they did for us on Thanksgiving, oh my goodness. I could have made a meal just on their rolls over at Mona's Danish Bakery. There's a link at buckmastershow.com, and you can also go directly to their link, monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. If you're looking for a great break, it's only a three-hour drive from Tucson to Silver City. It's a very pretty part of the southwestern United States. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. We send a lot of our listeners over there. Many people who've lived in Tucson all their lives, and they have no idea about how beautiful it is up at Silver City. And it's not that hard to get to. It's I-10, then you take basically a left at Lordsburg, and then just head up to Silver City, and by the time you get there, it'll be about 6,000-foot elevation, really totally different environment. Lots to do, a lot of hiking opportunities and all sorts of historic things hanging out in Silver City. So again, southwestnewmexico.org is a great starting place. We're talking with Kristen Auerbach. She is the head of the Pima Animal Care Center, which has a big celebration coming up this Sunday, a chance to show off the new facilities that the voters approved over at Pima Animal Care. And Kristen, this is Giving Tuesday, and I know friends of Pima Animal Care Center, which are so important to supplementing your work, they're hoping to raise at least $15,000 during this one-day event.
Yeah. So the Friends is a really exceptional organization because they listen to what we need. And what we need most is just care, the above and beyond care for those special needs pets. And every time we ask for their help, because of donors, they're able to help us. So when we have an animal, we, for instance, had a we have some cats, and they're totally savable, but in order to save their lives, we have to take out all their teeth because their teeth are infecting their whole bodies. That's expensive, and there's no way we could do it. We'd be forced to euthanize these otherwise healthy cats. Thanks to the Friends, we send them, they get their total mouth extractions, and they come back and get great homes. And that's one of 1,000 examples of how they provide over and beyond, over and above care to save lives at PAC. They are just critical to us saving 9 out of 10 animals that come to the shelter.
Well, my little tuxedo cats, brother and sister, the little sister, she had the total mouth extraction. Mm-hmm. She has no teeth. Her brother, Pierre, he has most of his teeth gone. And then we picked up these wonderful special needs animals on one of your Black Friday events. It's maybe 4 years already. But these cats, they needed a special home, mm-hmm. Kristen, and the boy cat, he's required a lot of work, but his sister, doing fine. You would be surprised. The special diet, we have a little blender that we use to make the food very easy for them to eat, but it takes a special home for those kinds of cats.
For the longest time, we euthanized every animal we thought wasn't perfect, because with the idea that no one would want them. And people like you prove to us every day that there are homes for special needs animals. And I bet you're pretty glad you adopted those two, right?
Love them. Love them. And they had required and still do a lot of work, but it's a work of love for us with our little tuxedo cats. It's always a pleasure to go home to them because they're just such loving animals. Okay, we talked a little bit about Giving Tuesday. The best way to do that would be to go to Friends of Pima Animal Care Center, their website? Would
yes,
that be the way?
Yes, and you can donate, and we have several different projects you can donate to, so you don't just have to give to overall Friends. Mm-hmm. We have the medical fund. We have a fund for our special needs dogs, and we have a community fund. We do, one of the things we're able to do now is we provide supplies and food to people facing homelessness for their pets, and you can give to that fund as well. So there's plenty of amazing initiatives to donate to.
How about the Foster Care Network?
Well,
and how big a deal is it?
Just counted this morning, and we're at 4,730 animals sent to foster this year.
Whoa.
Which
is wonderful.
By far a new national record and a record for Pima County. And
it gets them out of the kennels and into homes.
There's nothing better than seeing an animal that's been in our shelter for 2 months head to a foster home. And it's so easy. We invite people to just come in. They can foster the same day. They can take a pet for just a hike. If mm-hmm. they want to go for an afternoon hike, they can take a pet out. Or they can take an animal longer. And one of the things people don't realize is we have dogs and cats who are anywhere from 10 to 15 to 20 years old. And to see them sit in a kennel is really, really, really heart-wrenching. And fosters can easily come grab one of those dogs and they can fall asleep on a couch at night, not in a kennel.
Some of your animals have been there a while.
Yes, we don't euthanize for space and we don't euthanize for time limits. And so pets have as long as they need to find a new home. But at a certain point, their cases really become urgent. And most of them that are passed over, it's not because of medical or behavior. It's just because they're kind of plain looking mm-hmm. and there's so many to choose from. Yes. So the best thing anyone can do if they want to help us is come to the shelter and say, tell me about a special needs pet. Tell me about the longest stay dog or cat. I want to adopt that one because those are the pets that really, really need lifesavers.
Folks, to my heart, I love that where somebody walks in and says, show me your oldest, the dog that's been here the longest or the cat that's been here longest, and then help them out. That's
yeah,
that's
and
really
I'll take
great.
Anyone out to lunch who does that. So
there you go. You heard it.
You heard it.
All
here.
Right, Kristen, on the radio. In the remaining minute or two, a couple of quick trends in your business. What's changing?
So in the old days, you would only see a few animals. You'd come in and you'd see 15 or 20 adoptable pets, and the hundreds of others would be held behind the scenes. We're seeing that change. People are throwing open the doors, and at PAC, unless an animal is sick or being housed in our rabies quarantine area, you can see it. So when you come to see us, you'll see 500 animals, not 20. And by having those animals seen, we're able to save a lot more. Another trend is that people are taking down the barriers. So in the old days, if you went to a rescue group, you'd have to go through 2 orientations and 5 applications, and you'd wait 3 months in order to foster or volunteer. Today, it's on the spot. You can foster, you can volunteer typically within just a day or so of applying or coming in to find out about the program. So we're taking away the barriers and saying, yes, any way that you want to help us, we will take the help, and we're doing this as a community.
Any specials for the celebration on the 2nd? Any adoption specials?
It'd be a great time.
Folks are going to be coming in.
I believe we're doing fee-waived adoptions that
okay.
day. And I say I believe
there'll probably be something.
If you know PAC, we've always got some adoption special
going on. Some kind of adoption
on.
Special and a great opportunity for people to take a look at your new facility. And one of the nice things at the new facility is you can actually you can hold an animal. You can hold a cat,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Go in.
You
see
can go
how
in a visitation room or a play yard with a dog. And if you come, you'll get to see dog play groups where
uh-huh.
we have 10, 15 dogs playing in a dog park setting. You'll get to see a behind-the-scenes tour and see some surgeries happening. And at noon, we'll be doing a dedication ceremony with elected and appointed officials and the community coming together just to talk about the trajectory and how we've gotten where we've gotten.
How has this community, I know you came from Austin, how would you compare what we're doing with where you were in Austin, Texas?
In Austin, no-kill was won through a battle. It was advocates working against the municipal shelter, and it was really a fight for years and years. And it landed in the same place that we're at today. And Austin's a model. They save 98% of the animals that come into the community. They're 98%?
Amazing. 98%?
They have Whoa. A huge partnership with an organization called Austin Pets Alive that takes the at-risk animals. But here, we've done it a little bit differently. We've done it through collaboration and working together. And it hasn't been as much of a fight as a collaborative effort. And so one of the things that's notable in Tucson is just how positive everyone feels about all the agencies.
Yeah, it's a very animal welfare friendly town, to
it
say
is.
The least.
And it's not a fight, it's a collaboration.
Kristen Auerbach, congratulations, everything you're doing. And for more information, just Google Pima Animal Care, and then that will take you to the website and on and on. And we'll see you this weekend. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my great engineer producer, Bob Dio, on the other side of the glass, and on behalf of Kristen Auerbach, we hope you have a great afternoon.